Tuesday, I'm at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel for dinner at Pierre Garnier's Twist. How fine to be in a hotel without a casino. The restaurant is on the 23rd floor. Okay, not quite the view from Mix, but fine viewing indeed. I have read that Pierre Garnier perches atop French cuisine like a gargoyle giggling at the ant-like humans below. Toward the end of their long lives, a goal of my parents became to eat the best food they could find wherever they went. Some great restaurants had just moved into their neighborhood, and their long dormant palates were suddenly activated. Just as dementia fogged their minds, their taste buds came alive. I've just been dining on whatever for many decades. Maybe it was time to go back to the recent family tradition. I'm offered a magazine to read while awaiting my meal. Also, a spectacular cocktail.
Passion fruit sour martini. Ingredients: 1 1/2 ounce Stoli vodka, 1/4 ounce green chartreuse, 1/2 ounce passion fruit puree, 3 basil leaves, 3/4 ounce simple syrup, 3/4 ounce fresh lime, splash of egg whites. Shake well, serve in a martini glass.
And then waves of food arrived. Do you know what I'm eating?
I do. This is a wasabi sake mascarpone cream with toasted parmesan.
Sounds like a 60s dance craze.
Wasabi sake mascarpone with me.
That's this one over here. Okay. And this one over here is a Jack Daniel's something?
This is a Jack Daniel's drunken gelée made with Jack Daniel's, Guinness, and then topped with gingerbread.
Jack and Dan get so drunk they thought they lived in a gingerbread house. Okay.
Over here is our goat cheese tartlet topped off with a curry meringue.
Uh-huh. Tim Curry gets meringued in tonight's Foxhole feature.
In the small white dish, there's an apple marmalade on the base topped with an apple sorbet.
Yeah, Johnny Appleseed joins the Ku Klux Klan.
Over here, we have a salted cumin cracker, as well as our salted puff pastry with a little bit of olive oil and thyme.
Popeye always has thyme for olive oil. Is there a particular order I should eat these?
No.
This is the seared...
Seared langoustine with espalette pepper, paprika, orange zest, with a yuzu risotto rice on the base.
I love yuzu. Okay, and... Peter Pellet picked a peck of peppered paprika.
This is the grilled langoustine here.
Mm-hmm.
With ham on top, ricotta cheese, and toasted walnuts inside.
Okay. Imagine a wall made of nuts.
There is a langoustine mousseline stuffed with sorrels and Nantes butter.
Okay. Mussolini's favorite dish. Bullwinkle's least fave.
There is a langoustine gelée. On the base is Barbary with shellfish powder on top.
Uh-huh. Powdered fish, my favorite.
Langoustine tartare. The green there is a tarragon ice. Tapioca pearls with fermented soybeans. And the chef recommends, while you're enjoying the langoustine, sip on the sake there in the round dish. Bon appetit.
This is a horror movie for the mouth. Okay, tell me about this.
This will be a John Dory, which has been poached in espalette butter.
Yes.
Topped off with the espalette pepper itself, rhubarb foam, calamari, and then you have the broccoli florets. Over here, you have the foie gras velouté.
Separating a French chef from his foie gras is as difficult as separating Popeye from his spinach. Yes.
Peppered whelps and green lentils, finished with a little chive on top.
Uh-huh.
Over here, there's an artichoke velouté with a rhubarb foam finished with espalette pepper.
What do lentils give up for Lent? Oh?
Bon appetit.
I dove into the John Dory, and I became water. The whole watery world, every molecule of water in the multiverse. I am space itself. Yesterday's prawns sent me into all the love in the universe, all the subatomic particles being attracted to each other. But in order for there to be attraction, there has to be distance, space to transfer us. Now I am that space. The song Crimson and Clover played in the background. Maybe it triggered my enjoyment of the John Dory as much as the elevator ride into infinite beauty did for the prawns last night. Maybe not. It is August 1st, 2006. I am in Salt Spring Island for a three-day conference on sustainable energy. I am staying at a cheap B&B, but dine at the restaurant of an upscale hotel called Hastings House. It couldn't be more British. Looking out the window into an English garden, sipping a cocktail with far too much rosemary, I am suddenly summoned. A quest.
You must follow the path of fine dining.
What?
Your quest is to find out how good food can get.
Odd. I've long eaten well, but never considered it a quest. My wife is a fantastic cook, but has no particular interest in food. The idea of spending lots of money for a meal or traveling a great distance to eat at a particular restaurant had never entered our minds. Yet, here I am drafted into an expedition to find the best possible food. I hope I don't have to find a murderous rabbit. I met the chef, but was less than successful explaining my reaction to his food. Chef Gagnère.
Oui.
I loved your John Dory. It was miraculous.
Merci.
I felt I had become water, all the water in the universe.
It is a big universe.
I was space itself, the space between everything and everything else.
You are spaced, monsieur.
This food is beyond words. I'm speechless.
That's two things to be thankful for.
A few hours later, I went to Jose Andres Yaleo in the Cosmopolitan. I had lunched at its very first restaurant, also called Yaleo, on a trip to D.C. in 05. The tapas were up to what I'd had in Spain 3 years earlier. Would his Vegas tapas be as good? As I was only in Vegas for the food and still had some capacity, I wanted to find out. Studying the menu, I ordered the bacon date thing, the white asparagus, remarkably hard to find in Vancouver, the red peppers stuffed with cheese, and lots of sangria. These were tapas, mind you, not serious meals. I had enough serious food to twist. I wanted playfulness now. The dates were a disaster. My taste buds shrieked in agony. When my wife and I were on a bus from Avignon to Barcelona, as soon as we had crossed into Spain, the bus stopped for us all to eat, and we discovered cooked white asparagus on the truck stop menu. Our bodies were craving vegetables we couldn't get enough of while traveling through Italy and France, wonderfully soft and tasty. So when I saw asparagus on Yaleo's menu, I was sure this was the same dish I had on the road in Spain. And it was served in a tin can. I was so looking forward to that first melting soft bite of asparagus and good Spanish cheese. But the asparagus spears were as hard as the metal can they were in. Before I make a last attempt at edible Yaleo food with the stuffed peppers, a server dropped a glass next to me. There was glass everywhere. I reached down to examine my shoes and cut my finger on the glass under it. The stuffed peppers were my only edible tapas at Yaleo, alas. The sangria was good, though, and they didn't charge me for the food. They asked if I'd like to leave Jose a note. They said he always reads the notes. Still bleeding, I complained that the food at the Vegas Yaleo was vastly inferior to his Washington, D.C. restaurant with the same name. I admire Jose Andres immensely for starting the World Central Kitchen. Whenever there's a catastrophe anywhere on the planet, Jose and his team show up and start feeding people. He's up for the Nobel Prize because of this, not for his food. Reading on the page, I complain. Like, he's gonna notice, right?
Mubarak's presidential limo reaches an intersection. "Which way shall we go, sir?" the driver inquires. Which way would Nasser have turned? Mubarak asks. Always left, comes the answer. And Sadat? Always right. Mubarak sighs. Just don't move. A joke from earlier in Mubarak's days in power, but that's the position President Mubarak seems to be at now. The loyalty of the military has been eroded by his promotion of his ambitious younger son Gamal, who has been running the country by proxy as Mubarak's health declines. A military spokesman I spoke to told me,
"We've had enough pharaohs, enough kings. No more dynasties. We are not North Korea on the Nile."
Back to the present, Al Jazeera reports that 20 lawyers have lodged a petition alleging that Mubarak and his family have stolen state funds. Such a lawsuit is unprecedented and, like many of the events since the protests began, would have been unthinkable 15 days ago. The regime is still counting on the support of the Sofa Party, the people watching from their sofas at home rather than going to the square. "Why are you reporting on Tahrir?" a soldier asked. "Most Egyptians still support the regime." Yet on the two-week anniversary of the beginning of protests, tens of thousands of Egyptians are on the street again to show their opposition to Mubarak's regime. Protesters claim it shows the momentum of the demonstrations has not been lost. They're calling this week the week of steadfastness.
Can you imagine being stripped of respect and dignity all your life, only for people to come together in enormous numbers, numbers your city hasn't seen in decades, to tell you that you deserve respect and dignity? In that coming together, you regain everything that has been taken from you. Can you imagine standing in a square with so many people who are all asking for the same thing?
Among those who joined today's protests are various faculties from Cairo University. They said they were inspired to turn out today by the release of activist Wael Ghonim. The U.S. has joined in those expressing relief and delight of his release. Ghonim is an employee of a U.S. company. In his TV interview yesterday, Ghonim said the reason he was kidnapped was not, as he expected, because of his Facebook page. Instead, the authorities accused him of meeting with men who had Jewish-sounding names. Remember, he's a Google employee. He said his interrogators were convinced that foreigners were backing the movement. But Ghonim asserted it was just young Egyptians, quote, who love this country, end quote. He also sought to debunk the government's accusations that the outlawed Muslim Brotherhood, Mubarak's most bitter rival, was involved in planning the protests. The Egyptian vice president, Omar Suleiman, has offered more concessions to the protesters. He emerged from a meeting with Hosni Mubarak this morning, claiming that the regime has a plan and a timetable for the peaceful transfer of power. He also said the government would not pursue protesters who have been demanding Mubarak step down now. A committee has been set up to discuss and recommend constitutional changes that would relax eligibility rules governing who can run for president and limit the number of presidential terms. Whether the people in the square will be content with these concessions remains to be seen. This reporter is dubious. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. This is Richard Fish for Today's News Today.